News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Giving Tim Nagy from the Senior Bowl the week off because he just, he was... He had quite a day Saturday, and so, the culmination of the Senior Bowl and all that. So he was so busy leading up to it. He's nice enough to join us on Mondays, but we want to give him the day off so he can decompress a little bit.
Yeah, I was keeping an eye on him Saturday. He has to talk to everybody. I mean, everyone. Jim Nagy has to talk to on Saturday. Yeah. Once the Senior Bowl actually comes around, it's like, how does he do it?
Yeah.
He has a lot of people to keep happy, but did a great job, man. What a turnout Saturday and
fun.
Some really good football.
Yep.
The way they've got everything set up around Hancock Whitney, it's just perfect.
It really is. Man, we had a great time. The big hospitality tent and just everything was perfect. Like you say, the only thing that kind of went wrong was the game snuck up on us. We were having such a good time at the hospitality tent. Then we are basically, we can look right, the stadium's right in front of us. But we kind of lost track of time a little bit.
But got to get inside.
Got to get
inside.
Watch
kickoff for sure. Great to be joined this morning. Special guests this morning. As we've got not America's favorite pet yet, soon to be America's
nominee,
favorite pet.
Yeah.
Right now, definitely Mobile's favorite pet, the Gulf Coast's favorite pet, Esty, with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, Esty the K-9, with us this morning. And so is Esty's handler, the digital forensic examiner, Laura Grantham, with the Mobile County Sheriff's Office. Laura, thank you so much for coming in, and thanks for bringing Esty.
Thank you for inviting us. We're so happy to be here. I just love telling her story.
Yeah, and you told us her story. You guys, by the way, that's your pet, right? Really?
Basically? Pretty much, yeah. She's with me 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
She's not a real canine. I laugh and I say she's not a tack, a tactical canine. She's a tech canine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when people think of canine officers of the law, you think of, TSA at airports, you got dogs walking around sniffing for, I guess, gunpowder, things of that nature.
Right.
You got your drug dogs.
Correct.
You got your dogs that are specialized in different things. This is the first time that I have knowingly met a canine who specializes in finding digital cards, right? Like SD cards.
Correct.
Storage devices. That's what she's great at, right?
Yeah, she is an electronic storage device detection canine. She finds phones, hard drives, SD cards, flash drives, she'll find SIM cards.
Mm-hmm.
People always ask, what is she smelling? What is she looking for? And so the one thing that all electronic data devices have in common is a circuit board, no matter how small or how large. During the manufacturing process of that circuit board, there is a chemical called triphenylphosphine oxide, or TPPO. There won't be a quiz.
Yeah. And, thank you.
And so it is sprayed on the circuit boards during the manufacturing process to reduce overheating. That vapor, it's not even really a smell, it's a chemical vapor that she is imprinted on.
Huh.
And so it doesn't dissipate underwater.
Mm.
She can find things underwater. She's the only canine in the area that you can pet. She's food rewarded, not toy or affection rewarded.
Mm-hmm.
She'll never eat out of a food bowl. She'll only eat out of a food pouch. And she never eats unless she finds a device every day. And she gets a handful of kibble for every device she finds, 3 cups a day. So we play hide and seek a lot.
So the meal has got to be, it has to follow up a find.
Exactly.
Okay.
So we find strange places to play hide and seek. And we've gone out to Bellengrath Gardens and I've hid things all over there and the different Coast Guard bases. I stop at random parks and hide stuff when she needs to eat.
And I love this. Oh, that was Esty's head hitting the...
not to be concerned.
And I love Esty with the not built-in, but directions on her body. She's got do not feed, make it very clear up there at the top, but also free hugs.
Yes.
Comfort canine, pet me. So she clearly loves a good pat. Down from the ears down. But she's great. So she's got to be, and dogs like Esty, in higher and higher demand.
Yes.
The more we move into newer technology and crimes that can be committed, I mean, the sheer amount of things that can go on the internet continues to grow. So internet crimes continue to grow, and SD would be in more demand, I would imagine.
Exactly. And so when we have a brand new ICAC unit at the sheriff's office, I'm pretty proud of. I didn't start it, but they're amazing. They work hard. They get tips from NCMEC, or the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, of people who may be producing, uploading, trading child exploitation material. So they will get do the investigation on the tip, get a search warrant for the house or business. And so they will go in. She's not an initial searcher. They'll go in and find all the plain view items, and then she kind of bats cleanup. I don't know if that's the right
term. That makes
term,
sense.
But
right,
so
right.
I take her in and see if anything was missed or hidden or disguised. She finds Apple Air trackers, hidden cameras, things like that.
Wow.
And
Examiner Grantham, talk about how what was the process of her being trained to now be so good at what she does? How long did that take?
I didn't train her. If she was my dog, she still wouldn't know her name. So she is actually a career change dog. All the ESD dogs that were donated by Operation Underground Railroad, I believe all of them, are career change dogs. She is from a litter of 8 in Indiana, who at 2 months old was being, all 8 of them at 2 months old were being trained in 2 prisons in Indiana by inmates to be service dogs.
Wow.
She made it all the way through service dog school and failed the final because she likes to chase leaves. And they could not train it out of her. So instead of being a failure, she became a career change dog.
Wow.
And so as a service dog, she would have been of service protecting one person. And now she protects children. That's her mission in life.
This is a little cruel because this entire studio has electronics everywhere.
Well, exactly. And that's what I thought. I was like, I'm in a digital forensic lab. And
Esty found a good little a little piece of paper or something over there in the trash can.
Yes.
So that was my question, and we'll get into the award that Esty is chasing right now, and how folks that are listening can help get Esty to the next level. But what gets Esty going? What gets Esty's fire going more? Showing up at like a Best Buy. Where there, somebody from the weekend crew left some chips in there that Esty found.
They're gone.
What gets Esty more fired up? Walking into a Best Buy where there's chips everywhere, or a home where there's just one hidden chip that's in the corner under in a trash? What gets Esty more fired up? The quantity of chips available, or the difficulty to finding a chip?
The difficulty to finding it. Mm-hmm. If she goes into, and the reason why we have the investigators go in and find all the plain view items is it can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
When she's told to work. Like in here, she's not looking for anything electronic.
Right.
Because she's not working yet.
Okay. So wait. What's the phrase or clue that gets her suddenly on the job? What do you say? Oh, well, you don't want to say it. Okay.
Spell it out. Can Esty spell?
I don't know. She's smart. She might be able to spell.
Okay, but you give her one word, and then she's off to doing the job. Is
off
that right?
To work.
Yes.
Interesting.
And
wow.
Because I was like, I'm in a digital forensic lab. I was asking Todd Jordan with Jordan Detection, who trained her, in Indianapolis. I'm like, I'm in a digital forensic lab that has electronic evidence everywhere. Is she going to go nuts? I mean, can a drug dog sit in a room full of marijuana and not lose their mind? And he said, nope, she won't look for anything until she's told to.
Wow, and that's incredible.
Yeah, and I don't want to give Esty, you know, too much of an ego in this interview, but it must be easy. I'm looking, and you brought this.
Oh, yes.
You brought this kind of show and tell thing to show how difficult it is for a dog like Esty, who's looking for this tiny little chipboard or whatever that's in this little card. These drug dogs, they know what they're looking for. They're just looking for weed in the drawer or whatever. Esty's got to find this SD card. It's insanely difficult, I would imagine. But like you said, I guess just that spray that goes on the card, and even if it's underwater or wherever some of these criminals want to hide it, Esty can find it.
Anywhere, yes. She yes, I realize I brought a show and tell, and we're on the radio. But I just wanted to show y'all, give y'all some idea of why I tell our investigators why we need a dog that does this. Because a lot of people are like, why do we need electronic storage? You know, what? Well, that's why. Those things, because there are vaults and that you can hide stuff in that look like or
look like everyday
flash
things.
Drives that don't look like flash drives.
Right.
They're in light bulbs or things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so one of the neatest things, or what I find is most interesting about the story of electronic storage device dogs, is Todd Jordan in Indiana with Jordan Detection is a retired firefighter, and he trained arson dogs. And so he had a bunch of ICAC friends, investigators, who always thought, have we missed something? You know, every time we leave a search warrant, did we miss a victim? Have we missed some evidence?
Yeah.
So he's like, you can train a dog to do anything. Let's find out what we need to look for. So
he started it.
Well, he didn't. It's in North Carolina, I want to say.
Okay.
But he collaborated with these other people who were interested in it, and they found a chemist who found the one thing that was common.
The spray on the board.
Exactly. Yeah. And so he trained. He got Bear, which was, and he likes using Labs and Goldens. And so he got Bear, which was a black lab out of a rescue, and trained Bear.
Mm-hmm.
And in Indiana, Jared the Subway guy lived there. And when the FBI did a search warrant on his house, they actually called Todd and said, do you mind bringing Bear?
Yeah. So Bear went over there
so
to,
Bear finds a device, and they don't sniff data, but found a device, and it actually had, it was missed by all of the investigators.
Had more evidence on it.
And it had more evidence that helped put Jared. And then they did a case with a gymnast coach there.
Nasser.
In Indiana. Well, I don't know if it was him or, God.
Well, but there have been too many of those,
exactly.
Right? Exactly. So, obviously, Esty has a crucial job. You do, too. We're talking with digital forensic examiner Laura Grantham.
Let's
I wish we could talk
about Laura herself.
Yeah, and your crucial job, keeping people safe and the things you have to do. But let's talk about this, what Esty's aiming for here, and that's to be named America's Favorite Pet, right?
Yes.
And this is great. You brought some stuff in here. Esty's Besties.
Yes.
Is that what these little plush dolls, Esty's Besties, and raising money as well for the Child Advocacy Center, Team Sheriff raising money. But America's Favorite Pet, a $10,000 award, and the cover of the Modern Dog magazine. That's where we're trying to get Esty, right?
Yes. No, it's a national competition. They actually have the first cut. It's like the top 20 in her group.
Mm-hmm.
They break them down into groups. So she's not like right now competing against
everybody.
Yes. Yeah. Every other dog in the United States. She's competing against the ones that were chosen in her group.
Got it.
She's number one in her group. And I thought the contest just did that to keep up morale.
Yeah.
And I started looking at some of the other profiles, and they're like 32nd in their group, 11th in there. And I was like, oh my goodness. And it's like America's Funniest Videos. If it ever goes to the end where it's the 10,000 and all that, I am doing this mainly to get her name and what she does, her mission, protecting children out. And if any money is won or awarded or anything, I want to be able to get more Esty's Besties.
Yeah.
Plushies, and I want to get things like donate to the Child Advocacy Center.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
And so, like, Kong is one of the sponsors, and they're giving like random baskets of Kong toys.
Yeah.
And Sims just has a brand new dog park, and they have people have brought old toys and stuff. And I would love to be able to have her present them with new, and I can't afford them. And
that would be great, yeah. And it's working so far, I'll tell you that much, letting people know what Esty does around here.
Yes.
And I imagine getting her to schools, see some kids, would be great too, because in addition to seeing the canine and how great and cute she is and everything, that's like another avenue of law enforcement that probably a lot of kids aren't as aware of is, hey, I can go in and examine digital evidence and digital crimes. We can go after some of those kinds of criminals.
So what's the best way that we can vote her in? What's the best way?
Her She has her own link.
And we'll share all of this as well.
Thank you. On her fan page, she has a link to her page, and you vote for free. And it's kind of confusing because a lot of people won't see that the first one to vote is one free vote.
Mm.
It'll pop up, and you can donate to pause and vote and all this. And I'm like, it doesn't cost anything. I'm not asking for money, you know. And you have to, like, you're on Facebook, and you have to verify that you're a human. And the first thing that pops up is verify by card. And I'm like, no credit card.
Just skip past that.
And it's verified by Facebook.
Okay. Okay.
But they can vote once every 24 hours.
Okay.
And they're stickler on those 24 hours, too. They'll catch you if you try to vote early.
Well, I'm voting right now. So we'll share that on our Facebook page. It has been shared on our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065.
Yeah, the easiest thing is just go right there. We've got the link up there right there, and we want Esty to win. Thank you so much, Laura, for coming in and telling us the story of Esty and getting the campaign off to a flying start here.
That's awesome. Yeah.
When does the voting end?
I'm sorry?
When does the voting end?
3 days is the first cut.
Okay.
Like 3 days from now. It gives you a ticker when you to vote.
Uh-huh.
And it's like 3 days and so many hours and things. And they'll do like the top 20. And I don't know if it's like they've got
from
20
there.
Groups and it's like one from each group. And then so we'll know in 3 days if...
Esty's moved on.
Sounds like she's off to a hot start, so we'll do our best to get her into the next round, and then from there, get Esty into America's favorite pet.
We'll be every step of the way. FM Talk 106.5 will continue to support her. Thank you for dropping in.
Thank you so much.
And Esty as well. It is 8:23 on Mobile Mornings and FM Talk 106.5. Well, y'all missed it. Esty doing all kinds of tricks in here before she was done. She was done on the radio, but she wasn't done. Examiner Laura Grantham showing us the different tricks that Esty can do. What did you said? Chase could take some notes. I mean, Chase is a long way from Esty, and even Sean's dog, Chief. I mean, he's a criminal, for God's sakes. We could all learn from Esty. Yeah, as people as well. Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And talk about somebody with an important job.
Yep.
Esty's got a very important job. If you can imagine how hard it is to find the smallest of SD cards and just the amount of criminal evidence that could be on one of those little bitty cards, and it's up to Esty to find them. That's awesome. Something I've never really even thought about, honestly.
I haven't either. And in the end, of course, you know, you're getting people with the bad histories or intentions off the street, and Esty's getting it done. And that's why Esty needs to be America's favorite pet. And again, go to our Facebook page.
We've got it listed. There.
That's the best way.
Facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5. It's been a busy text line this morning. Joshua was wondering, that stat you rolled out earlier, Dan, where you said back in 1956 that we had 27 people fell off Mardi Gras floats that year.
Dr. Bill's Marine Almanac.
Yeah, that was a real stat, right? That was one you've been waiting to use.
Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe not.
But two in one night falling off on Saturday night. And I'll get this footage over to Leanna. We'll get the thrower who fell off the Fairhope parade float. Mm-hmm. We'll get that listed up on our Facebook page as well. Paul says, I have a question. I wonder if alcohol can ever be ruled out when someone falls off a float. I don't think so.
It's the first thing you rule in.
It definitely is.
That would be my guess, and far from a police investigator that I am, but come on.
Texter here wondering what kind of dog Esty is. So Esty's father is Golden Retriever, and Esty's mother a yellow lab, Golden Lab. So pretty good pedigree there, Golden Retriever and yellow lab.
Great pedigree, and Esty turns 3 in April. We'll have to go back up to Indianapolis to get recertified. It's done annually.
FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now it's time to talk with Louie Arata from McConnell Automotive. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all?
Hey, we're doing great. Let's talk about some of the hottest vehicles right now. What you're seeing people come in to McConnell Automotive and saying they're wanting an extended look at. What are some of those vehicles?
Yukons, AT4s, Sierras. I mean, all those. Yukons are the hottest going on right now, and we've got a few of them in stock right now. SLT's got a couple of four-wheel drives, and got an AT4 Yukon XL sitting over. I saw it Saturday, and we're going to be here all day. Unfortunately, it's raining. Hope everybody be careful out there, but if you have that unfortunate accident, don't forget, we got a great body shop here and service department, and we got plenty of vehicles out front. You can check all the stuff on the line at McConnellAutomotive.com or come by and see us today.
Yep, it's that easy. I'll make it very, very easy on the customer, whether it's online or in person. Thanks for your time this morning, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all. Come see us.
Louie Raddatt, you'll find him at McConnell Buick GMC on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and that website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
I missed yesterday where Trump was on with Bartiromo on Futures on Fox News. And they were talking to Vice President. At least that's part of the conversation that they had.
Mm-hmm. And he mentioned two names,
he
right?
He did. He mentioned two names, one being Tim Scott, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
South Carolina. And the other is Kristi Noem. So he just kind of threw them out there. I don't know that he hammered out it's going to be one of these two.
He didn't really. He was kind of like, well, it'll be a good person.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you today. And then he just randomly happened to mention those two names.
How about, he denied reports that his people reached out to Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to explore a potential ticket with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't sound like that would, I don't know. That'd be an out-of-the-box pick for sure.
Yeah. I don't know. And, you know, everyone's wondering who is going to be his pick. He seems to care less about it than anyone else.
Yeah,
he's saying, you know, I don't really think it's going to swing the election or anything, but whoever it ends up being, you'll like. It's kind of what his standard answer has become.
Yeah, and he's saying that the top criteria is that this person might end up being president. You know, he said an emergency can happen no matter who you are,
mm-hmm.
like even a me. And you got to be ready for that. So he said number one is picking somebody who will be a very, very good president of the United States, because they're obviously a heartbeat away.
And, you know, they think that Haley, at least her people, think she's got a fighting chance as we head into Nevada, that caucus, and then the South Carolina primary on the way. But right now, I mean, she's getting beat by 38 points by Trump in polls for South Carolina. So I'm not exactly sure what they're seeing there. They're just trying to keep the hope alive, maybe. But, yeah, that's the latest from there. And then you've got this bill, which is they're kind of – it's interesting seeing how this fight is going down as the Senate has been working on this bipartisan border bill.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to include funding for Israel and Ukraine and even the Asian Pacific. Well, the House kind of jumps the gun, and Mike Johnson yesterday says, actually, we have a standalone bill for Israel. And we're going to go ahead and put this out there, and it would – be more money to Israel in this than you would get in the bipartisan border bill.
Mm-hmm.
$17 million for the Mike Johnson House bill, $14 billion in the big bill that contains border stuff as well that's going through the Senate right now. But the Senate bill looks DOA. Even if it makes it past the Senate filibuster, it doesn't look like it has a very good chance of making it into the House. And Senator Lankford out of Oklahoma, he's probably been catching the most arrows of anyone in this.
He says he's confused by all of this. Like, what's the problem with it? Anyway, here's Lankford.
I'm a little confused how it's worse than I expected when it builds border wall, expands deportation flights, expands ICE officers, border patrol officers, detention beds, how it creates a faster process for deportation.
You say that's got no shot in the House, right?
Right, yeah. And a big reason behind that is his bill would open it up for 50,000 new visas. So that's in addition to what's already put out there year mm-hmm. in and year out.
Mm-hmm.
And it would bring back Title 42, maybe under a new name, but it would bring back that expedition, that expulsion process, but only when the numbers reach 4,000 to 5,000
a month.
On average, per 5-day average.
5-day average?
Yeah.
5,000?
4 to 5,000.
So only in that emergency would you then be able to.
At 4,000, it would give the president the option to go ahead and say, hey, we need to go ahead and start sending them back Once you get to 5,000 crossers a day, that's when it would kick in, this Title 42. So Lankford, I mean, he's saying he's put together this good deal, but it's still, for most hardline Republicans on the border, nowhere near what they need or what they want or what they've asked for. And it looks like they're just going to hold off and see if Trump doesn't win the 2024 election.
And speaking to their people, Democrats continue to say that the Republicans are dragging their heels. They're talking about border security, but at the same time, they're not coming up with a comprehensive plan that we can put together and make it happen. So they're throwing shade on the Republicans, regardless of what we see at the border. I get both could be share some blame, but that's the Democrat point of view, at least their politicians right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure it'll work for a number of their voters. That line will work for sure.
Yeah.
This texter wondering if the level of inebriation softens the landing when someone falls off a float. I'm sure it does. I'm sure.
Because if you saw the video we saw in Fairhope, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
We didn't see him land, but we saw him fall.
We'll get that up on our Facebook page. And speaking of Mardi Gras and Mardi Gras safety tips, Desi Tobias with Tobias and Comer Law joins us in a minute. And welcome back to Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. And right now it's time for another edition of Law 251 with Desi Tobias from Tobias and Comer Law. Good morning, Desi. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Dalton. Good to see you.
So, I was following the end of the college football season, just like I do every year, as I'm a big college football fan, really big sports fan in general. But I was studying the special teams even more closely in those final two, in the playoff semifinal and then the big national championship game, because I found out you have a nephew who is the long snapper, William Wagner. Is that right?
William Tobias Wagner.
William Wagner, long snapper for the national championship winning Michigan Wolverines. And that just had to be so great that your nephew was out there getting a ring just like all these other guys.
It was a great experience for us, and in particular, the way it worked out, Michigan played Alabama in the Rose Bowl, and our entire family are huge Alabama fans. In fact, William's parents met at Alabama. Their first game was an Alabama game, and he grew up being a Alabama fan. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to go into engineering. He thought Michigan was a good school, and it's been a great thing for him to be there. He received his degree already, mechanical engineering, and he's still continuing to snap. But it was a really interesting experience. I've followed Michigan, but for them to be in the national football playoff or the college football playoff was amazing.
That's awesome. And for them to work out to where they're playing Alabama in that semifinal, and you're all Bama fans, like you said, Bama grads, live and die, roll tide. And then he's in Michigan. The way that worked out, that ended up being the semifinal game. And then to go on and win the national championship in front of his family and friends, that's so cool. It makes sense that he's an engineer and that he's a long snapper, because I imagine those guys, just like kickers, punters, the rest of the special teams, they're all about data and repetition and doing it the exact same right way every time. I mean, for people who don't know what goes into long snapping, just the pressure, especially when you're on that sort of stage, the national championship game, but you have to put it in the exact same spot with the exact same speed every single time. And if you mess up, everyone knows.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, interesting you mention that, because William, the Michigan press put out a release on him, and he talked about how things like coefficient of friction and the wind speed and things like that go into his consideration when he snaps.
Yeah.
And that is right about being a long snapper, is that when you do that job well, nobody really recognizes it. But when you mess up, they do. And before the Rose Bowl game, I put something out on Facebook that, hey, this is my nephew, and mentioned about, you know, the interesting aspect of that part of it. And of all times, the first time I think he ever missed a snap in like 400 snaps was during the Rose Bowl game. And it was a low snap that hit the dirt, and they missed the extra point. and the game goes down to tied 20-20. Mm-hmm. You wonder what would that point have done, but ultimately Michigan did prevail, and I went to, you know, I was able to go to Houston, and it was such a great experience being there. The Michigan fans were crazy about it, that they hadn't been there in a long time, and I was in the player hotel visiting William. You'd see all of their stars like Blake Corum and things like that, you know, that were J.J. McCarthy, their quarterback. So it was all very interesting, and then to be there with him when he won, my sister, they got to go out on the field and see him, and then he came to see us right there by the stands where I was with the rest of his family. So it was a great experience.
That's fantastic. Talking with Desi Tobias from Tobias and Comer Law, Law 251 here. I did want to pick your brain some with Super Tuesday coming up. We've got primary races, and then that'll all lead into the general election in November. And I know a lot of people are paying attention to the elections that get the most press coverage, which is House. Some places have Senate races going on, but mostly we're looking at House races down here. But there are other very, very important local races that will be on these ballots when people show up on March 5th. And a lot of those have to deal with the court system in our particular neck of the woods, but our area and our state, all these different races for judgeships and other candidacies here. I wanted to kind of pick your brain on what some of these represent, some of these different races that are open. And why don't we start at the top? Chief Justice for State Supreme Court, for the Alabama Supreme Court. A couple candidates on the Republican primary side for that. That's the big job in the Supreme Court, right?
Yes, it's a huge job. And the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, they actually are the administrative head of the court system, which makes determinations about where money goes and things like that to the various circuits or counties throughout the state. They have certain roles in each case that's decided by the Supreme Court. It's a very important job. And, you know, from the top all the way down to the bottom, there are candidates running for these positions. And there's not many contested races, but there are a few. And it's so important to get the proper candidate, to get the qualified candidate. And it's something that's difficult for, you know, the average person out there to understand what it is that a judge does, what a lawyer does, you know, and what somebody's qualifications may or may not be. And, you know, and we can talk about what the other various races are and what the positions are. But, you know, one thing I thought of, call a lawyer friend that you know, ask them for some advice.
And there's no politics as important as local politics, right? Because you're affected by those the most, even though there may be more people talking about who's going to be president. That won't affect you as much as these local races in the short term and in the long term. And with these kinds of races, judicial races, you just don't know as much about the candidate because they're not in the news as often, or they're not trying to put themselves in the news as often. Usually judges aren't. You see Jerry Carl or Barry Moore or insert candidate here, they'll have a press release out every week saying they're doing this or doing that. But for some of these judicial races, you might have someone who is the most qualified and has been doing a great job for decades. But this is one of those where someone who's never been in a courtroom can jump into the race. I'm sure they have to have some kind of qualification. But because you know less about the candidates generally, it makes it more important to dig in before the race.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And there are situations like that. There are certain candidates who they've done the job, they've proved themselves, they're somebody, they have the right temperament and things like that. It's hard to know. And one of the things judges are supposed to do is really not make themselves part of the news.
Right.
You know, they're supposed to remain impartial arbiters of the law, and frankly, not be politicians in doing that, which in a way makes it difficult because our system is we elect the judges here locally, and in federal court, they're appointed by the president, actually. Mm-hmm. So, it's hard to convey what the importance is, but there is a difference.
Yeah.
And if, you know, anyone interested in these races, and they should be, should reach out and try to obtain some information about what their qualifications are as a lawyer, as a judge, their legal background in regard to that.
A couple more I want to get you just to kind of explain to people. I think Court of Civil Appeals and Criminal Appeals, that's pretty self-explanatory what those candidates are trying to get elected for. Circuit court judge and district court judge. Now, is district smaller than circuit, or which one of those is the large? Explain those, circuit court and district court.
Well, I don't want to say it's smaller because they both play very important roles, but the circuit court is the one where, say, like when there's a civil case filed, it has to be over a certain limit. Like, I think it's $20,000.
Okay.
And the circuit court is where the jury trials take place. So all of your major felonies and things like that that involve any kind of, you know, criminal punishment or, you know, that's all circuit court.
Okay.
The larger, you know, monetary cases, they go to circuit court, and that's where the jury trial, that's where, you know, our citizens, I always tell them that when I have a trial, you are our court system in action here. You're the ones who are going to decide these facts, because these parties have differing views. But that's the circuit court. The district court is a judge. Your judge makes the decision in the civil cases. Again, there are certain value. It's $20,000 or less right now in district court. But you always have a right of appeal. You have a right to trial by jury, so you can appeal to circuit court.
Ah.
But the district court, they decide those civil cases. They also do the arraignments and some of the preliminary criminal matters and decide to bind something over to a grand jury to make a determination as to whether it's a felony, which then goes to circuit court.
Okay, great. That's some very necessary information, as those are all races that'll be on at least the Mobile Republican ballot. I think several of those on the Baldwin Republican ballot as well, but that's coming up. So check them out through our interview page where we talk to each candidate, or like Desi said, call a lawyer friend and get the lowdown on who's running in these races. So that's a big help. Also, Desi, Mardi Gras, early Mardi Gras this year, so it'll be over before we know it, but still plenty of big parades as we head towards the end of Mardi Gras, and got to stay safe out there. I know that's, we see stories every year, and it's a great time, but there is drinking that goes on, and there's a reason they have the barricades out there, is to keep people from hopping out in front of these floats.
That's right. It's a huge mass of people, and anytime there's something like that, whether it's a concert or a game or whatever, there's always a chance that something could go wrong. And of course, there's no surprise about the drinking. That's what our Mardi Gras, that's what happens there.
Yeah.
Often.
But that's what Uber and taxis and all those good things are for.
That's exactly right. Uber, taxis, to be aware of the surroundings. I remember when my kids were little, it was always something to, they loved it. They loved doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to make sure where they are and what they're doing as well. So
yeah, no doubt. And I know we use this often on the website, TobiasComerLaw.com. You have a great bunch of great resources there. But one of those resources, tips for staying safe during Mardi Gras, and a really well done listing of that, and taking a look at before the kids head downtown for Mardi Gras. But that's on the website, TobiasComerLaw.com, along with all those other great resources. And people can always call for a free consultation, right? On the same site.
Right. At any time, they can give us a call. They can look to the website to get the information that's there, or at any time, call us. It's always a free consultation. There's not a fee unless there's a recovery at the end of the case. And we're always there to do what we can to help and to provide that information.
Very good. Well, again, congratulations to William and the family for the national championship. I'll be ringing you up to ask you about some of these candidates in these judicial races, and appreciate the Mardi Gras tips as well. Desi Tobias, Tobias and Comer Law, and Law 251, thanks again for coming in today.
Dalton, great to see you again. Thank you.
All right, that does it for Mobile Mornings. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show, right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.